Round and round we go. We're talking this month about spiritual practice. Spirituality is that feeling of connection with something beyond your own ego, something greater than yourself, a feeling of connection to all that is. Practice is to do it over and over again. Practice doesn't really stop. Professional musicians and athletes keep practicing. It is what they do most of the time. And spiritual practice is a lifelong activity, a habit of attention, bringing yourself into awareness of how you are part of something larger than yourself. Today, I want to talk about an opportunity and a necessity to engage in spiritual practice, that is, relationships, being with others. There's no doubt in my mind that being with others, especially those others that we care about, who know us, who depend on us, that we depend on, the ones we love, being with others is spiritual. It is a feeling of being connected to something beyond ourselves. Philosophers and theologians and students of human nature have long understood this. There is a way in which the other person, with their own life story, their own personality and presence, the other confronts us face to face with the fact that we are not the universe. Here before me is a friend. And this friend is in some ways like me. They have arms and legs and mouth and eyes like I do. We can speak to each other and mostly be understood. We like some of the same things. But this friend is in other ways very much not me. I look into my friend's eyes or hear them speak, and this thought occurs to me. This is a person like me, but they are not like me, and they are not me. And I can guess, but I don't really know what they are thinking or feeling, and that means I am not the universe. I participate, but I am not everything. I am not even my friend. And in this way, I depart from my own ego, at least if I'm paying attention and willing. I depart from my own ego. And let us say that you stand with a group of friends, four of you maybe, talking by the river at sunrise, and you share stories, and you laugh, and you catch up, and as you watch the conversation, as you watch yourself and others move and listen and speak, what is made present is the utter otherness of other people. Out of this otherness, we might feel curiosity. What are they like? We might feel anger or fear that their otherness is a threat to us. We might feel affection, a desire to bring together our separate selves into stronger community and connection. We might feel hope that though one person is incomplete, together we are more than we are apart. But whatever we feel, that friend, the other, this person reminds us that we are part of something larger than ourselves. And to be in this relationship, to have friends, first of all, requires patience, discipline, work. I'll confess, I'm not that good at friendship. Some people I know are really good at it. They call their friends on the phone, they write, they talk, they do stuff together. I'm not like that. I never have been. I've lost some friends because of that, but the friends that I've kept are the ones that are kind of like me. It doesn't matter that we haven't talked for a year. We pick up like it's old times. We don't really need to do a lot of work to maintain the friendship during the off season, if you will. And though social media has changed this, made it a lot easier to know what we're up to and to share things together, this is still true for me. I see this a lot. That folks often gravitate to have friends that have similar friendship styles. High-maintenance friends maintain each other. Deep conversation friends find others who like deep conversation. Do something together, friends. Find other do something people. So the two pieces of wisdom about relationships as spiritual practice then are slightly paradoxical observations about friendship. First, to find friends who have similar friendship styles. If I tried to be friends with someone who wanted to talk every day, one of us would be miserable pretty quick. They would say, "That Matthew doesn't care about me." Or I would moan and bewail, "My new friend is so needy." If you are having trouble finding friends, the key, I think, is to find folks who are friends in the same way. This doesn't mean that they will be people who are like you. In fact, they might be very different, but they will go about being friends in a similar way. A corollary of this is that your way of being a friend is fine. Don't feel pressure to be a different kind of friend than you are. There's no right or wrong way to be a friend. There are just different styles. Now, the second point is the paradox part. Ministers get to call contradictions paradoxes. It makes us seem wise, so here we go. You should stretch your friendship style. If you can stretch just a little bit, you might be able to make a friend you can't otherwise make. If you're the let's do something together kind of friend, then try to do something where you don't do anything, but just spend time together. And if you're the just spend time together kind of friend, once in a while do an activity with your friends. This bit of stretching can open new possibilities. And we might discover that our friend styles change over time as we mature and grow as human beings. We might also discover that what we thought was our friend style never really was. It was just what we thought we were supposed to do. This, it seems to me, is the central task of relationships as spiritual practice. To know honestly who we are and what we need, and also to stretch ourselves to continue our evolution as a person in community with other persons who demonstrate through their very existence that there is more than one way to be human. If knowing yourself and stretching yourself is required for strong friendships, it is even more necessary when we turn to the more intense and intimate relationships of romance and marriage. I know there's a lot of variety when it comes to marital and romantic history here. Some of you have never been married. Some of you were married, but the person that you were married to has since died. Some of you have been married and then divorced, and then sometimes married again, sometimes more than once, sometimes to the same person. Some of you used to be married to each other. Some of you are in marriages or romantic relationships that are strong and vibrant. Some of you are in marriages or romantic relationships that are in the process of ending. And some are in the process of being renewed, restored, restarted. And some of you have been married to the same person for a long time. Once at a wedding that I officiated, friends of mine who got married, the bride and groom, they did something so sweet, I always remember it. Instead of throwing the bouquet, they asked all the married or partnered couples to stand. Go ahead. All the married or partnered couples stand. You have to play along. Okay, do it, right? Okay. And then they asked everyone who was married less than 5 years to sit back down. Go ahead. And then everyone who was married less than 10 years to sit back down. Quick, do the math in your head. 15 years, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, and then to that couple goes the bouquet. Oops. I thought it was a great idea. I knew it would be Sam and Shirley. We celebrate that kind of longevity because we know it isn't easy. To live with another person is to confront that otherness directly, for we are not the same. We don't communicate in the same ways. We don't feel in the same ways. We don't pay attention to the same things. We are other from each other. This quality of difference gives romantic relationships their energy, the joy of discovery, the creativity of togetherness. But this otherness is, it must be balanced by a sense of oneness, not complete merger into the other that isn't helpful, but a sense that at last, this is the one I was looking for. As time goes by, people change. What we need changes. The initial energy slips into something more comfortable. There are understandings and misunderstandings, good days and bad ones and jumbled up ones. I'm not an expert, but what I know from hearing story after story, what I've seen with from my own extended families is that sometimes folks change so much or discover who they really were all along but didn't know that the otherness is just too much. The relationship as romance and partnership can't go on. Sometimes folks see this for what it is and step back with grace and stay friends. I think that's sweet when that happens. And other times folks change or discover themselves in such a way that the relationship too must change, and change isn't always easy, though it is constant. Sometimes the otherness isn't too much, but it is enough, different enough, that you have to figure out a new way to be together. And this is why it is spiritual practice. When a relationship becomes really comfortable, too comfortable, we forget the otherness of it, the fact that this person is another person and not part of us. So the first task, to know who we are and who we are becoming, and that we are not the universe and that others are others and have their own lives, to be connected to something beyond our own ego, this task is so necessary. This takes work and practice to reconnect as each person changes with time. And that reconnection can be hard when we get in a routine, when work and kids and lives keep up a relentless forward momentum. Sometimes we need to step out of that pattern and see ourselves and one another as if for the first time. Perhaps, as Marge Piercy wrote, we should speak in the dark and know that our words are the wind passing through the grass. Some of us, men and women, need to stop dancing solos on the ceiling, while others of us, women and men, need to learn to say, this is so. And we need to stretch ourselves. The second task. We stretch ourselves only enough to include the other person as they are right now in this moment. Well, that's not going to work, because they will change, and so will you. You got to stay stretchy. Sometimes the stretch is too much, more than anyone can be asked to do, but sometimes it's just a little stretch, but we have become too brittle to bend. All the qualities that make human relationship possible, forgiveness, attention, compassion, humor, openness, this is what it takes to stay stretchy. Let's see, marriage, friendship, partnership. Did I miss any significant relationships that require and are an opportunity for spiritual practice? Any relationships where you go beyond yourself, participate in something beyond your own ego, and where you have to work at it? Anything where you have to be clear about who you are and also be stretchy so you can be in relationship with someone who is like you but still radically other than you? Any relationships like that? Yes, of course. Parenting. I'm not going to preach anything I don't need to hear. Just, there's no expertise going on here. The dilemma of otherness is so acute in parenting. There's something that is part of us, especially for the biological mom, but for all parents, something that is clearly part of us, but then one day is not part of us, is other. But even then, only a little. An infant depends totally on their parents and mimics them and lives in a similar rhythm. And then one day, they're maybe two or younger or maybe a little older, and you say, "Pick up your toy, please," and they say, "No." And you think to yourself, "What? No." And you begin to realize that this person is not you, and that you will have to stretch more than you thought you could to be in relationship with this person who increasingly is other than yourself. Childhood, especially in that 2 to 4 year old and that 12 to 16 year old time period, is all about the child discovering that they are their own person. Of course, this isn't a linear process. One day they are defiant and independent, and the next day or the next hour or 2 minutes later, they want hugs and dependence. The parent doesn't always know what to do with this. And we parents, too, are going through the process of figuring out, just like friendship and romantic relationships, figuring out who we are, as children are figuring out who they are. This is so important for parents. Who are you independent of your children? For this, if this is your only identity, what will you do as they become their own person? What meaning will your life have when they are grown? The mix of needing each other and becoming oneself at the same time is why parenting is full of opportunities for spiritual practice, opportunities and requirements. Knowing yourself. Knowing there's no one model of how to parent, knowing there's no perfect and never will be, that good enough parenting is the right for the mix of who you are and who your child is, and that is changing every day. Forgiving yourself and forgiving them. Living in the moment, like it or not. I love Ian Frazier's reflections on this. It so captures the endless rule-making that is part of parenting. Not in the living room, not in the living room, not in the living room. And the mercy, the mercy. Unless you are sick and lying down, and then yes, in the living room. No, you may not come out. The third time you ask, then you may come out. Mercy, compassion, stretchiness, the ability to be kind to yourself and others, to know who you are, but stretch that a bit because others are different. And stretching ourselves is how we grow and become better people. These virtues and practices are at the core of all relationships. Khalil Gibran wrote, "Your children are not your children, their life's longing for itself." Marge Piercy recommends the ritual phrase, "It is not I who speak, but the wind. The wind blows through me, long after me is the wind." To be in relationship with others, friends, lovers, relatives, is to participate in the wider world, which is larger than ourselves. We must know who we are, what we need, how we move in the world, and then must remember that others are not ours. They do not belong to us. And so we must stretch, must let the wind blow through us to give our life our togetherness. Hold on loosely, for we dance together in an endless circle, each their own self and each part of something bigger than us. This stretching, this mercy we hold for others, this desire and willingness to grow and change with and for the sake of one another as best as we are able. This quality goes by another name, love. The central spiritual virtue and core religious instruction to love one another. What I want to leave you with today is this idea that to love one another is precisely the task I have described, to know who you are, to know that others are not the same as us, and to stretch enough to be in connection and partnership with them. To have such affection for the other that we go beyond ourselves without losing ourselves, and thus make of our lives, our friendships, our partnerships, our ancestors and descendants, a bond of love and an act of beauty. May it be so.